Welcome to Old Treasures Made New, your devotional podcast on the go or at home, where you read the scriptures and reflect on them with those from the past. Today, we'll be reading John 15, verses 1 through 6, and then through J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts on John. Please take a moment to pause and to ask the Holy Spirit to bring understanding and to apply what we hear. John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. This is the word of the Lord. These verses, we must carefully remember, contain a parable. In interpreting it, we must not forget the great rule which applies to all of Christ's parables. The general lesson of each parable is the main thing to be noticed. The minor details must not be tortured and pressed to an excess in order to extract a meaning from them. The mistakes into which Christians have fallen by neglecting this rule are neither few nor small. We are meant to learn first from these verses that the union between Christ and the believers is very close. He is the vine, and they are the branches. The union between the branch of a vine and the main stem is the closest that can be conceived. It is the whole secret of the branch's life, strength, vigor, beauty, and fertility. Separate from the parent stem, it has no life of its own. The sap and juice that flow from the stem are the origin and maintaining power of all its leaves, buds, blossoms, and fruit. Cut off the stem, and it must soon wither and die. The union between Christ and believers is just as close and just as real. In themselves, believers have no life, strength, or spiritual power. All that they have of vital faith comes from Christ. They are what they are, feel what they feel, do what they do, because they draw out of Christ a continual supply of grace, help, and ability. Joined to the Lord by faith and united in mysterious union with Him by the Spirit, they stand, walk, continue, and run the Christian race. But every jot of good about them is drawn from their spiritual head, Jesus Christ. The thought before us is both comforting and instructive. Believers have no cause to despair of their own salvation and to think that they will never reach heaven. Let them consider that they are not left to themselves and their own strength. Their root is Christ, and all that there is in the root is for the benefit of the branches. Because He lives, they shall also live. Worldly people have no cause to wonder at the continuance and perseverance of believers. Weak as they are in themselves, their root is in heaven and never dies. When I am weak, said Paul, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Secondly, we are meant to learn from these verses that there are false Christians as well as true ones. There are branches in the vine which appear to be joined to the parent stem and yet bear no fruit. There are men and women who appear to be members of Christ and yet will prove finally to have no vital union with Him. There are many professing Christians in every church whose union with Christ is only outward and formal. Some of them are joined to Christ by baptism and church membership. Some of them go even further than this, and are regular communicants and loud talkers about Christianity. But they all lack the one thing needed. Notwithstanding services, sermons, and sacrament, they have no grace in their hearts, no faith, no inward work of the Holy Spirit. They are not one with Christ, nor is Christ in them. Their union with Him is only nominal and not real. They are said to be believers, but in the sight of God, they are dead. Professing Christians of this sort are represented by branches in a vine that bear no fruit. Useless and unsightly, such branches are only fit to be cut off and burned. They draw nothing out of the parent stem and make no return for the place they occupy. Just so will it be at the last day with false professors and nominal Christians. Their end, unless they repent, will be destruction. They will be separated from the company of true believers and cast out as withered, useless branches into eternal fire. They will find at last, whatever they thought in this world, that there is a worm that never dies and a fire that is not quenched. Thirdly, we are meant to learn from these verses that the fruit of the Spirit is the only satisfactory evidence of someone being a true Christian. The disciple that abides in Christ, like a branch abiding in the vine, will always bear fruit. The one who would know what the word fruit means need not wait long for an answer. Repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, holiness of life and conduct, these are what the New Testament calls fruit. These are the distinguishing marks of the one who is a living branch of the true vine. Where these things are wanting, it is foolish to talk of possessing dormant grace and spiritual life. Where there is no fruit, there is no life. The one who lacks these things is spiritually dead. True grace, we must not forget, is never idle. It never slumbers and never sleeps. It is a foolish notion to suppose that we are living members of Christ if the example of Christ is the only satisfactory evidence of saving union between Christ and our souls. Where there is no fruit of the Spirit to be seen, there is no living faith in the heart. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will always make himself known in the daily conduct of those with whom he dwells. The Master himself declares, "Every tree is known by its fruit." Luke 6:44. Lastly, we are meant to learn from these verses that God will often increase the holiness of true Christians by his providential dealings with them. Every branch, it is written, that bears fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. The meaning of this language is clear and plain. Just as the vine dresser prunes and cuts back the branches of a fruitful vine in order to make them more fruitful, so does God purify and sanctify believers by the circumstances of life with which he places them. Trial, to speak plainly, is the instrument by which our Father in heaven makes Christians more holy. By trial, he calls out their passive graces and proves whether they can suffer his will as well as do it. By trial, he weans them from the world, draws them to Christ, drives them to the Bible and prayer, shows them their own hearts, and makes them humble. This is the process by which he prunes them and makes them more fruitful. The lives of the believers in every age are the best and truest comment on the text. Hardly ever do we find an eminent believer, either in the Old Testament or the New, who was not purified by suffering and, like his master, a man of sorrows. Let us learn to be patient in the days of darkness if we know anything of living union with Christ. Let us remember the doctrine of the passage before us and not murmur and complain because of trials. Our trials are not meant to do us harm, but good. God chastens us for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Hebrews 12:10. Fruit is the thing that our Master desires to see in us, and he will not spare the pruning knife if he sees we need it. In the last day, we shall see that all was done well. That is the end of Rao's expository thoughts for these verses. Let us carefully consider what we've heard today. May the Lord be pleased to bring the growth for his glory. In considering what is heard, would you prayerfully ask yourself and others the following questions? First, Jesus declares that he is the vine and believers are the branches. Ryle points out that there is no closer relationship conceivable than the union believers have with Jesus, just like a branch has with the vine. The believer has no life, strength, or spiritual power to do anything, and all comes from Christ. How does this change how you think of time in the Word and prayer, church? Second, Jesus declares that there are branches that do not bear fruit. Ryle points out that there are those whose union with Christ is only outward and formal, by baptism and church membership, and not in spirit and truth. Are we content with people seeing us as Christians without the substance? How do the warnings of being cast into the fire affect our hearts? Third, Jesus declares that whoever abides in him will bear much fruit. Ryle points out that fruit is shown in repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and holiness of life and conduct. Fruit is the truest evidence of belonging to Christ. Now, while it is good for us to ask ourselves what kind of fruit God is producing in our lives, it is equally helpful to ask what fruit others who know us well see in our lives too. And fourth, Jesus declares that his Father prunes the branches that bear fruit. Ryle points out that this pruning is God's providential working of trials into our lives, which, when seen rightly, make us holy. Hebrews 12 tells us to endure suffering as discipline from our Heavenly Father, without which we are not true children. How do we respond to the trials God brings into our lives? Does it produce in us grumbling and complaining? Or, by God's grace, does it produce a spirit of endurance and trust?